Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the big fall fashion week wraps up today at Lincoln Center. Williamsburg Fashion Weekend gets underway tomorrow, and we continue our February series of conversations about fashion, the industry, as well as what our clothes say about us. We are joined for this by Hazel Clark, professor in the Master's Fashion Studies Program and Research Chair of Fashion at Parsons, the New School for Design, and co-author of The Fabric of Cultures, Fashion, Identity, and Globalization. Welcome back, Professor Clark.
Thank you.
I want to play a clip from a recent documentary called Diana Vreeland, The Eye Has to Travel, about the former editor of Harper's Bazaar and Vogue who ran the Met's Costume Institute. This is a clip of her response to Dick Cavett's comment that fashion is not just clothes.
It's part of the daily air, and it changes all the time. With all the events, you can even see the approaching of revolution in clothes. You can see and feel everything in clothes.
She didn't say it's part of the daily air. She said it's part of the daily air, and it changes all the time with the events. You can even see the approaching revolution in clothes. You think she was speaking of political revolutions?
No, I don't think so. I think she was speaking of social revolutions. Also, it's interesting just to think what Diana Vreeland would think about the 21st century and the whole sort of blogosphere we're now in, and the way that her world as a professional, on a high prestige magazine, the way that world has sort of exploded now to, really take the pulse by the second rather than by the hour.
So social changes show up in clothes.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, I think people's lifestyles, the fact, for example, that women now lead much more, relaxed lifestyles. They're, much more in the world than they were certainly 100 years ago, though 50 years ago. So I think those lifestyle changes, the way that if you go to an airport now and we see people departing on airplanes, they tend to be wearing very casual clothes, whereas 40 years ago they would have been wearing business suits, for example.
Michelle Obama's impact on fashion has been very strong. I wonder if you could compare her impact to that of Jackie Kennedy in the 1960s.
I think Michelle Obama's had a broad influence because although Jackie Kennedy was very involved in fashion and she dressed very well, she had her own designer. Michelle Obama has not just been seen in designer wear. We know she's been seen in brands, J. Crew being the one we're most familiar with, which women in America can buy. And she's, dressed in a very accessible way. She hasn't changed her personal style, it seems, significantly. She wore a cardigan to meet the Queen of England. She wears flat shoes. So she's shown that one can, be well-dressed, stylish, intelligent, and also very accessible, have a life. The sense of her being mom in charge is, very much played out, I think, in the way she looks.
So, listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls on who your fashion icon is and why. Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Snooki, your boss, Princess Di. Oh, you should have seen Hazel's face when I said Snooki. Someone you're following on Pinterest, and is it because they're cool or attractive and it ends there, or also because of something they're saying with their clothes that you relate to or that you even think is important? 212-433-WNYC, your fashion icons and why? 212-433-9692, or post your story to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Another historical example, Princess Di in the 80s. Again, for a certain thing?
Well, Princess Di was very much an icon. And, in Britain, she, for example, inadvertently set a fashion for hats. The British store, British Home Stores, which was very known for sort of hats for women at a moderate price, was really took off because of Diana's hat wearing. But I think Diana was in a much more difficult position in many ways because of her youth, because of her the fact that she was an outsider to the royal family. So, you know, she was a fashion icon, but she certainly didn't have, I think, the same sense of self and, you know, personal development as someone like Michelle Obama. And, it, you know, in the end, it had a very sad outcome in many ways.
I think Maria in Hoboken has one. Hi, Maria. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Actually, my fashion icon is Audrey Hepburn.
Tell us why.
Simply because she's very stylish, and I don't really mind wearing whatever she wore in her movies because it's still, I think, very stylish up to now. And I really admire her for her work for charity and all that. And she comes across as a very genuine person.
What did she wear?
I like her hats, and I like the dresses that she wore, mm-hmm. especially, what is that famous movie of hers? I'm having a senior moment
know.
Here.
She was in, well, yeah. She was in a lot of movies.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, maybe.
Maria, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. And on in East Windsor, you're on WNYC. Hello, on.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You have a fashion icon?
Yeah, my fashion icon is Kevin O'Leary from This Old House.
Uh-huh. And what does he wear and what does it mean?
You know, he dresses in a way, I think, that projects a image of what it meant to be a man. And I think I'm sort of nostalgic for that image. You know, he's not exactly in the best shape, and yet he doesn't try to conceal that. He's casual, but he's still well dressed, and he doesn't appear to be overly concerned with how he looks. But at the same time, sort of projects strength.
Thank you very much. Are you familiar with him, Hazel?
I'm not. I'm afraid. I must
search
him out.
The idea that Ann raises of things that reflect a certain image of what it means to be a man.
I think that's very interesting. I think both callers, in fact, were picking out the not just the image of the individual, but the personality and what they stood for, which, you know, is exactly takes us back to what we were saying about Mrs. Obama a few moments ago. That, you know, fashion is not just about images; it's about real people and real bodies and clothes. So I think they both made very important comments.
Lori in Atlantic Highlands, you're on WNYC. You have a non-celebrity fashion icon, right?
I do. It's my brother-in-law, Stephen Levitt. Yep, he lives in the West Village. And I just believe that he wears things with style just because it comes from within.
Like what? Like what?
Well, he has like an orange and white gingham check shirt that he wears with just plain old jeans. Or he has an Armani suit and he wears it the same way.
You just like the combinations visually, or does it say anything deeper?
Yes, it says that he just is a class act from the inside out.
Lori, thank you very much. And now you're going to get a better Christmas present next year from your brother-in-law. So, Hazel Clark, with social media, like Pinterest, the photo sharing website, last week we touched on the media's role in fashion, mm-hmm. you and I. It's seen some revolutionary changes. Are people crowdsourcing fashion? Is it coming from the bottom up, from somebody's brother-in-law, and then it goes viral online and starts to take off as much as it's coming from the runways at Fashion Week?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's been coming from the bottom up for, you know, many decades, but in the 21st century, it's just so, there's so much accessible, as we know, on social media. And also, there's an interesting diversity. I mean, one of the most, if you like, famous style bloggers is Tavi Gevinson, who started 5 years ago when she was 11 years old, and she's, you know, with her style rookie. But at the other end, there's a blog called Advanced Style, which is referencing women of a certain age. So I think that's what's so very interesting about the social media. And also someone like Brian Boy, who also is very famous as a blogger, who, you know, began in his native Philippines in Manila. So I think in terms of demographics, you know, age, place, it's really busting the whole thing apart in a very interesting way.
Let's get one more in here. Natalie in Brooklyn. Hi, Natalie. Real quick, who's your fashion icon?
His name is Ryder Hood. He's a tailor for Madonna and Beyonce and people like that, but it's his personal style. You say some people don't care about how they dress, but he does, and he lets his emotionality really live through his clothes. So if he's sad...
What's one... Yeah, sorry, if he's sad, what?
he'll paint bruises on his face, or if he's happy, he'll just load up on helium-filled balloons. And it's amazing to see someone who makes other people look beautiful on a more superficial level explore it so sensitively.
Thank you very much. And there are niche industries, right? Styles like steampunk, and little industries, even if they don't go national.
Yes, that's what social media enables. It enables people to find their tribes or, you know, like-minded people, and, you know, even, you know, share making of clothes and certainly share their style. Very interesting. The callers were picking up also on style as much as fashion.
Hazel Clark from Parsons will be back for two more conversations this month about fashion. Next week, what clothes say about national as well as personal identities. Hazel, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.